Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals, the NHL hockey conference finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get the bonus and get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football this morning. Today, my video is on Doug Williams, quarterback, Grambling State University, by way of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Super Bowl MVP and champion in the 1988 Super Bowl, Mr. Douglas Williams. I'm your host, Mr. Football Vincent Turner. Special thanks to my producer, Mr. Logan Landers, for making it happen this morning. Excuse me, but it's getting better every week, me doing these great videos on these great men and football players that pioneered the way for a lot of other young men out there that didn't believe, especially in the African-American community, especially at the position quarterback. Tell you a true story. Back in 2008, I'm going to give special thanks to this radio station that I was on doing the show at the time. They're still going in existence, 1570 WIGO down there in Morrill, Georgia. I was doing a show with a young man, Mr. Jonathan Simmons. And right now he has his show, Real Talk Sports. And he was able to pull out. See, Jonathan works for a car dealership, Allen Vigil. And Jonathan, he's out of Newark, Kentucky, or Newark, Connecticut, same hometown as Kevin Murphy. Jonathan always had this suave demeanor about himself. And he was able to pull off two tickets for me to go Friday night to a dinner that was honoring the Black College Football All-Americans that year. And I think Dominique Rogers-Kamadi, who played at Tennessee State, went on with the Arizona Cardinals, was the defensive player of the year. Well, at that event, I was at a table, and you had Doug Williams. I never forget it. You had Everson. You didn't have Everson Walls. You had Dexter Clean Scales. We had Mel Blunt that came into the event. And then you had Rick Upchurch that played with the Denver Broncos in the NFL. And I reached over and I said, nice to meet you, Mr. Williams, and your great Super Bowl triumph and your victory. And he said, well, where you from, young man? I said, the 901, Memphis, Tennessee. And one thing that he came out and said, oh, man, Barry Wilburn, cornerback, Ole Miss, starting corner, Super Bowl. And he said these magical words, oh, it's Mel! Barry Wilburn! And we laughed and joked about it. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you being from Memphis, I know you proud, baby. I know you proud of that South Memphis. I know you proud of that Orange Mound. Because he said, Barry Wilburn was one of the most nicest flamboyant athletes on that Washington Redskins 88 Super Bowl team. But sitting by Mr. Williams to meet him that night, I walked away with it from the event not knowing how special and how great he was. And it's an honor that he's still living and working with the Washington Redskins organization. But his journey, after I did my research on Mr. Doug Williams the last 2 days, is just unbelievable, man. You look at all these great athletes, and you look at Mr. Doug Williams out of Zachary, Louisiana, and you sit up and you say, wow. The challenges, and where they come from and what makes them driven. I'm gonna start with Mr. Williams. The first time I heard of him, I was a senior in high school getting ready to go off to the University of Arkansas. In 1978, the 77 college football season had ended. And remember, I'm like everybody else. I'm not really following the SWAC. I'm only following the SWAC if Tennessee State is playing. I really don't even know nothing about the MEAC. But I know about black college football history because of Tennessee State. And I remember that 77 Grambling team that went 11-1. And I remember people down in the SWAC, as they won the conference that year, I believe, stating that this Grambling team could play with anybody in the country. Especially that team that won the national championship on the collegiate level in Notre Dame. And they had a quarterback by the name of Joe Montana. But that Grambling team in 77, they had Robert Woods, they had Mike Smith, they had Carlos Pennewell, they had Gary Big Hand Johnson was a teammate of Doug, but he had left, and they had Ron Singleton. All those guys played in the National Football League. Then I looked at Doug Williams when he was quarterback, and he comes from Zachary, Louisiana. And the thing about it, Zachary is about 5-10 miles outside Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And LSU is in Baton Rouge. And they didn't offer Doug Williams a scholarship. But during Doug years at Grambling, where he was 3-time SWAC player of the year, offensively, LSU had Pat Lyons at quarterback, David Woodley at quarterback, and Steve Ensminger at quarterback. And something else I didn't know. Louisiana Tech didn't want him. No school in the SEC didn't want him. This guy about 6'4", 225 pounds. Look at him, lean and mean. He only had, from my understanding, another gentleman told me, Mr. Mark Denham, outstanding voice of the SWAT, Harlem Globetrotters, Home Depot, told me he only had one offer. Grambling State University. And he ended up finishing fourth in the Heisman Trophy that year. Earl Campbell won it. Terry Miller out of Oklahoma State, Earl Campbell out of Texas. And he finished fourth. I can't think of the other participant right now. That was the 1977 Heisman Trophy. Then going into the draft process, this is why stories like this motivates me to tell it like it is. Only one team came and worked Doug Williams out. It was an offensive coordinator trying to make his bones in the business with the lowly Tampa Bay Buccaneers under John McKay. His name was Joe Gibbs. And Joe Gibbs came down and worked Doug Williams out and sat down and talked to him. Doug went 17th overall in the 1978 draft to Tampa Bay. But the report that Joe Gibbs did on Doug Williams said that he was the best player in the draft. The arm strength. I'm going to go with the report Mr. Gibbs had. The arm strength, A+. The delivery, A+. The touch, A+. The accuracy, A+. The poise in the pocket, A+. The field vision, A+. The leadership, A+. The pre-snap reads, A+. The anticipation of receivers going and breaking open, A+. The release, A+. Natural leader, A+. Very academic, listen to this key words here. Very academic driven, A+. Extremely prepared, A+. Studious nature, A+. Big time arm, A+. Mentally tough, A+. Very impressive, A+. And see, Mr. Williams was a pitching prospect also in high school in that grammar. Some people say he was on a level of the young man out of Omaha, Nebraska, that played for my favorite Major League Baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals. And his name was Big Bad Boy Bob Gibson. That's what Joe Gibbs had in his report, man. And I always thought when Mr. Williams took the job at Morehouse here in Atlanta, I said, why Morehouse? That doesn't fit Doug Williams, him being the head coach. This is after his career at Morehouse. And then I think about what I found out. When he was at Grambling, he graduated in 3 years. 3 years. Three and a half years. His second semester. I said, getting ready for the draft. He's working on his master's. Academic All-American. And the thing that stuck out is that word on the street. When he was a student, and now I understand why Eddie Robinson loved him so much. This is unbelievable. He was the first student there in the classroom. If you think I'm telling a story, go check behind me and ask the people at Grambling. The first student in the class and the first one up in the front of the class. And the best note taker is Doug Williams. See, God chose a special people, man. Now I understand why he feels a certain way. He gets drafted to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, his career didn't end up good. Career 100 touchdowns, 73 interceptions, only close to 17,000 passing yards. Excuse me, might be more than that. I might be off on that. But the thing about Doug Williams, he took Tampa Bay to the playoffs 3 out of the 5 years he was there. And it's something that I look at it back then, me being in college and not understanding the plight as the black quarterback in the National Football League. He had a contract dispute with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they only who calls a house. And this is what really sad. At the time, Mr. Williams was making $120,000 a year. That was 12 backups making more money than he was in the National Football League. And then during the process, he lost his wife through an aneurysm. He lost his wife during an aneurysm, during his contract negotiations with Tampa Bay. Never went back and played with Tampa Bay. And then I found out they didn't even want to, they were fighting him on $450,000, between $400,000 and $450,000. The highest paid quarterback was making $600,000 at the time. I don't, you can look at the records, I can't remember who it was. But the thing that bothered me the most, he had to go to the USFL and get his money. And of course, you know, the league folded in 1985. And while he was at home, there was not one team that reached out to him except that offensive coordinator who was at Tampa Bay that had a big part in drafting him, Joe Gibbs, who's now was the quarter, who was the head coach at the Washington Redskins. Brought Doug in as a backup. And there was a tremendous quarterback controversy, especially in the strike-shortened season 87 between the starter, Dre Schrader, and Doug Williams. Make a long story short, Dre Schrader didn't like Doug Williams. But I give Joe Gibbs all the credit in having the strength to name Doug to start in the playoffs. Doug really didn't have great numbers, but he knew some about him because of that report he did from his NFL pre-profile report. extremely prepared, natural leader, field vision, and a leadership. And that Redskin team took off. Beat the Chicago Bears. Beat the Minnesota Vikings in a very emotional game. But think of all them characters that rallied behind that Redskins Super Bowl team. You had Dexter Manley, Charles Maine, Alvin Walton, Todd Bowles. Now the coach of Tampa Bay. How ironic is that? One time game, Timmy Smith, Ricky Sanders, Gary Clark. They rallied around this man. The Hogs, Joe Jacoby. Riley McKenzie, Knoxville's finest. And of course, Barry Whitman, the 901. And I remember watching that game in a little town in Philadelphia, Tennessee. I was married at the time. First wife was from that area. About 70 miles from Chattanooga. And I was in the living room of one Miss Barbara Kerr, outstanding woman. And down there during the time my daughter had just been born, Ashley. And I was in the living room watching the game with my ex-brother-in-law, Danny Kerr, much loved brother. And he was going with the Broncos. And I was kind of agree with him because I said, they had a huge advantage at the quarterback position, John Elway. Well, if you watch that, go back and watch that game, John Elway came out, opening series. He hit Ricky Natil, receiver out of Florida, for about 60 yards, touchdown on my homeboy, Barry Wilbur. 7-0 Denver. The ensuing series, Doug Williams dropped back, legs buckle. He falls down, and everybody is saying, is he going to be able to continue? Denver gets the ball back, drive back down. Excuse me. They kick a field goal. They up 10-0 in the first quarter. But in the second quarter, Doug Williams warming up on the sideline. And he said, hey, man, this moment, it's not going to deter me. And I got to represent. And you can go back and look at all the great Super Bowl games that's been in the past. You can go look at Tom Brady's 7 championships. You can go look at Joe Montana's 4 championships. Patrick Mahomes winning the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford with the Rams this year. And Russell Wilson when he was Seattle. But I don't care what nobody say, the greatest moment in Super Bowl history and the greatest performance was in the second quarter by Douglas Williams out of Zachary, Louisiana, by way of Grambling State University. The Washington Redskins, 4 touchdowns, over 200 yards passing in that game. In that quarter, 340 for the game, 4 touchdowns, and Super Bowl MVP. And that second quarter, that man was on fire. That ball was coming like a laser. Gary Clark, Ricky Sanders, Art Monk were running free in the secondary. Tommy Lilly, defensive back, again, out of Florida for Denver, look like chopped meat. Mark Hayes, chopped meat. The secondary of Denver, chopped meat. Carl Mecklenburg, chopped meat. Ricky Nunley, linebacker Arizona for Denver, chopped meat. The greatest performance ever in Super Bowl history. That second quarter, hands down. And I didn't think the significance of that game until maybe years later, the first African-American quarterback to win that game. But what I noticed after that game was the Redskins bench and Doug Williams just sitting there but I know the Redskins players Bear Wilbur, Todd Bowles, Alvin Walton, Tim Smith, Dexter Manley, they were doing the Cabbage Patch, baby. The Redskins were Cabbage Patching. DC in the house. Chocolate City, Cabbage Patching. And Doug Williams was just, he was being so modest, man. God watching him. He was a child, the chosen one. And people don't know this. The day before the Super Bowl, he had a 6-hour root canal surgery done. See, God in this plane, baby. He's in this plane. I can understand why Mr. Williams has kind of said some things over the years. When I talk about football players that I really admired in my lifetime, Condre Calloway being the first African-American quarterback in Tennessee is a favorite player of mine. Andre Ware when he won the Heisman Trophy. Of course, Herschel Walker when he was at Georgia. Of course, Walter Payton, sweetness. Muhammad Ali is my greatest athlete of all time. Bob Gibson, Lou Brock in baseball. Of course, with Ernie Banks, Chicago Cubs finest. And of course, Hank Aaron, Atlanta Braves. But as far as African-American, Doug Williams just made my top team. And when you look at all the great quarterbacks that came out of SWAT, today I have tremendous respect for James Shaq Harris, Eldridge Dickey, 1966 Tennessee State University, Joe Gilliam Jr., the late great Joe Gilliam, who I saw play along with Eldridge Dickey in my younger years at Tennessee State, and Douglas Williams. All my love go out to y'all today and to you, Mr. Williams. And I'm glad that the Washington Redskins are allowing you to get your flowers in their organization. Because you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. Super Bowl MVP. It gets better every time. And me with my research on these great players, Douglas Williams, goes down as one of the best individuals, a gentleman that makes me very proud today to say what I've said about him in this video. And I'm going to say this, that see, we need to honor the elders and the great ones before us. So my words of advice to all you African-American players at the quarterback position, from Kyler Murray to Dak Prescott to Lamar Jackson to Russell Wilson to you, Deshaun Watson, to you, Warren Moon, to you, Michael Vick, to recently drafted Desmond Ridder, Atlanta Falcons, to you recently drafted Malik Willis, to you, Mr. C.J. Stroud, Heisman Trophy candidate in college football this year. And to you, Mr. Bryce Young, down at the University of Alabama. What y'all need to do, y'all need to reach out, get that phone number up there in Washington, D.C., to the Washington Redskins organization and say, thank you, Mr. Doug Williams. If you like the video today, please come and share it. My final words about Douglas Williams. And thank you today to my producer, Mr. Logan Landers. You know I got to do it big time. When Doug Williams was at the Super Bowl and that situation went down the second quarter and he came back like a warrior, like a car that just tuned up the amps, a Corvette, I'm a Lamborghini. This is what I think about Doug Williams, that moment.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
They say the neon lights a bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air. But when you're walking down that street, you ain't had enough to eat the glitter that rubs off. And you're nowhere. Doug Williams stood there at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. I'm on Broadway. I'm representing Grambling State. I'm representing the SWAC. I'm representing the first African-American quarterback to win the Super Bowl. My stat line, 340 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. I'm on Broadway, baby. Thank you to Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskins organization for allowing that man to be part of what y'all doing up there. Thank you. Be blessed.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.